Welcome to a special bonus episode of the Grace Lace Podcast. I'm Eve Stipes, and typically I'm sitting down for a conversation with my co-host, Ruth Jo Simons, but today you get to hear from the entire Grace Lace team. These are the women that we get to do life with on a regular basis, and we're so grateful they agreed to another team episode where you get to know them and hear their wisdom as they share from a variety of ages, life stages, and experiences. Today, they're talking about their thoughts for what it looks like to keep an Advent heart posture as we head into the new year. And I'm praying that their conversation encourages you in the middle of this strange week between Christmas and New Year's. Enjoy. Okay, another team episode. I am so pumped for us to be together. Just in case you didn't know, we're recording this episode particularly early in the morning for some of our friends on the West Coast and in Mountain Time. So we're going to kick it off with just a little introduction of who you're going to hear from today. And my questions are, who are you? Who do you live with? Where do you live? And what do you do for Christmas? What do you do for Grace Laced? And if you feel like it, your favorite Christmas tradition? That's a lot of questions, though. So do your best. I'm going to start with Anna.
All righty. My brain's like in Thanksgiving mode, so I'm like, Christmas, Christmas. Okay. My name is Anna Lydia Anderson. I am the digital media and project manager here at Grace Laced. I've been around for 2.5 years. I live in southwestern Colorado with my husband, and we've been married for over 3 years. And one of my favorite Christmas traditions is, we did this more growing up than in the last couple of years, but we would go around the living room, and with my extended family, different people would chime in on like the Christmas story. So Someone would talk for like 3 to 5 seconds and just share like part of the Christmas story. And we'd go around until we've completed the story.
Oh, that's fun. Gives it a little different flair every year.
Yeah. I love it.
Okay. What about you, Camille? Tell us about yourself.
My name is Camille. I'm the studio manager and photographer for Grace Laced. I live in Durango, Colorado with my husband and my 4-month-old baby girl, who is just the sweetest thing on planet Earth. Favorite Christmas tradition. So fun fact, my husband is actually born on Christmas Day.
I did not know that.
Yeah, He has a Christmas birthday. Oh, so he actually told me, he was like, I'm going to tell our daughter that it's my birthday first and then Jesus. Okay. So since we've been married, our favorite tradition is we always go snowboarding on his birthday. And it's been really sweet to do that.
That's so fun. I would die if I tried to snowboard, but I'm so glad that people love it. It looks fun.
It is.
Mallory, what about you? This is your first team episode. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, I'm Mallory. I'm the newest member of the Grace Lace team. I'm the graphic designer here, and I live in Austin, Texas, with 3 really fantastic roommates. We have a ton of fun. And I think my favorite Christmas tradition, my family just loves board games. So. Ooh. Yeah, we're not super competitive, but when we get to play a board game, it all comes out and it's a good time. It's fun to see my parents really get into it. So I love that.
Hilarious. What's your favorite board game to play?
I really love Sequence, which is more of a card game.
Yeah, but it's good.
That one's super fun. And I also recently learned how to play a game called Secret Hitler, which involves a lot of lying. And so maybe not the most wholesome Christmas game, but it's good.
Entertaining.
It's very entertaining.
Hilarious. Okay, Jen.
Okay, I'm Jen, and I am the aforementioned West Coaster who is up very early for this and also excited like Anna. It's still Thanksgiving week, so I'm still in that mode too. But I'm excited to talk about Christmas today. I live in the Bay Area, in the San Francisco Bay Area, with my husband and 2 kids. And one of my favorite Christmas traditions that we've started more recently with my family is we make multiple prime ribs through the month of December.
Nice.
And so it just kind of feels like a month-long feast. And prime rib is one of my favorite things to eat, and my family loves it. And it's really one of the only things I'm confident about cooking too. So it's like bonus points for that. And so all around, it's just always a good time during this month.
I might adopt that.
I know, because that comes with me for a month.
Sounds like a delicious December.
Please.
Okay, Annie.
So I'm Annie, also Analia, and I am really in the mood for prime rib right now. I serve as the product development manager for Gracelaced, and I love Christmas. Like it's like, you know how they're like Disney moms? Like, I'm like a Christmas mom. That's just who I am. I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico with four of my children, although the oldest is coming home in just a few weeks, and he'll be here for the entire Christmas season for an entire month. Which is a big treat because I haven't seen him for 7 months.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's a lot, guys. It's a lot. Most of my favorite Christmas traditions revolve around making things with my kids. I'm a long-term veteran homeschooler, so we make a lot of stuff as part of our curriculum. And so we'll make like paper stars and dried orange garlands, and we'll string cranberries and popcorn and talk about the books we're reading. And it's just cozy and fun. But we moved to New Mexico about 10 years ago, and New Mexico is so rich in Christmas tradition. So if you have not experienced a New Mexico winter, I highly recommend it. There's just luminarias and the smell of piñon like in the air, and green chilies and pozole and bizcochitos. You guys, it's just food and good smells, it's pretty. It's so
sign
pretty.
Me up.
So yes. So you're all welcome. You're all invited to my house for Christmas. That's my joy for Christmas.
Lovely. Well, in case we haven't met, my name is Eve, and I serve as the executive director for Ruth Jo Simons Ministries, and also get to co-host the podcast with Ruth, typically. And I live in Indianapolis, Indiana, with three kids, a dog, and a husband. And my favorite Christmas tradition, I feel like we're still developing our Christmas traditions as a family, but one of my favorite ones from growing up that I still do when I'm home with my mom and my brother is we always go to a Christmas Eve service, and my dad was a pastor. And so growing up, that was just always part of our tradition. Like, we would go do Christmas Eve, and then we come home and eat like a really specific set of snack foods that we don't really eat during the year, but we always eat on Christmas Eve. So that's kind of my deal. I like it. I'll probably adopt some of that for our family, but it's kind of hard when we're traveling, like not really sure where we're going to be. So what church would we go to and all that sort of stuff. But I do love Christmas Eve. Maybe it's the name. I don't know, but I'm going to claim it. Okay. So we're talking about Advent, obviously. And like we said, mentioned already, we're a little bit before the season that we're recording this episode, but I think it's still a really worthy conversation for us to think about how we take the spirit of Advent with us through the whole year. So in the intro letter of Emmanuel, which is Ruth's Advent devotional, she says, "My hope is that you want to discover something in the Advent season that will outlast the month of December. What if we allow the truths of God with us to shape everything we do all year long? What if we let the Christmas story fill our hearts so that it changes the way we celebrate the season and live the rest of the year?" So that's really what we're talking about today. Like, what does that even look like? What does that mean? There are several heart postures, like ways that we approach the season, that we talked about in the first episode of this season. And so some of them, just to kind of bring it back to your mind, was we can be expectant, worshipful, generous, invited, grateful, joyful. Those are kind of like all the things we're hoping to cultivate in our hearts as we think about celebrating Christ coming to earth. So how do we keep those heart postures after Christmas is over? That's what we're talking about today. So first question that we're going to kind of toss around is, what part of a quote unquote Advent heart posture is the easiest for you to carry into the new year? And what's the most difficult? Like, this episode's going to play in between Christmas and New Year's. So that weird week of ambiguity and who knows what's going on, what's easy to keep from Advent as you move forward, and what's hard?
Well, I think, you know, preparing your room which is the name of, you know, another Advent resource we have here at Grace Lace. Like, it sounds fun. It sounds like a fun house project, like cleaning, fresh cleaning, decorating, you know, making things pretty. Like, I love doing that. And, you know, everyone loves Christmas. Everyone loves like a good birthday party. Mm-hmm. There are lots of things to celebrate. It's easy to feel joy. Like, it feels contagious around Christmas time. And as Christians, I think it's also easy to celebrate Christ coming into the world. You know, like, we're saved, we have hope, we have joy. But why? Why do we even need those things? Why are they necessary? And I think the difficult part about being prepared for Advent, I mean, it's always a heart. It's always a heart issue when things are difficult. And so, you know, sometimes our houses can look all spick and span and dressed up on the outside, but maybe there are cracks in the foundation or everything is shoved in a closet or something. And as believers, we know the story doesn't end just at a birthday in Bethlehem, but ultimately it's our heart's need, you know, for a savior and for Christ coming. And that all leads us to the cross, which is where all of that hidden stuff is laid bare and redeemed. And so it's so hard, but so vital that we remember not just the joy we know at Christmas and are preparing for celebrating, but that, again, we remember, we take that with us through the year, through Easter, and just remembering that that's, you know, where we're headed during Advent as well.
Yeah, it's part of the story.
Yeah, I feel like I have a similar reaction when I think about heart postures. It's really easy for me to feel gratitude, especially around Christmas, just because, you know, there's so much that's fun and exciting and, you know, family gets together and you get gifts and you give gifts and it's just easy to feel it's easy to feel grateful. And I feel like, you know, my cup is always very full around Christmas time. And then going into the new year, like, it's hard sometimes to feel expectant about the future. And hard to feel, you know, excited for change when you're like, no, I just want to hold on to this really special warm feeling. And, you know, like, I think personally in my life, there's so much that I have to be grateful for, but I'm also like very comfortable where I am. And so, yeah, when I think about the future and what God could be doing there, I'm a little hesitant, but also, you know, it's still exciting.
Yeah, I know it is that this weird time of year where it's like so happy, so good. And then you kind of feel like you're almost stepping off into like an abyss of like the new year. It feels like the top of a roller coaster where you're like, okay, here we go.
Scary.
Like, it could be awesome or it could be really hard and we just don't know yet. And so, yeah, I think that really makes sense. One of the things, go ahead, Annie.
I was going to say, one of the things that actually helps me with that, like, to kind of tape, not have that roller coaster feeling this time of year is, and this is one of the reasons why I really like to slow down and just make things with my kids this time of year, is I treat Advent, the beginning of Advent, as like the beginning of my spiritual new year. And I've done that probably for the, like, the last decade or two, for the last decade or so. And I have made it so, this is the time of year I'm preparing myself to move forward for the entire rest of the next 12 months. And so I love the idea that Advent is this preparation, this slowing down, this waiting, like expectant waiting. And so I'm always asking God during this time of year, like, what do you want? Or where do you want me? Like, where are you already working? And where can I join you in that? Where is my sphere of influence? And I, slowing down is what helps me see that instead of just jumping into things. And so that's a really helpful and like useful posture formation time for me.
I'm gonna steal that.
There's nothing like magical about January 1st, right? We hear people say that all the time, and yet we still put so much like pressure on it, or like, okay, now it's the beginning. And really and truly, we can turn our hearts to the Lord and cultivate that at any point. One of the things we talked about earlier in the season was what it looks like to find satisfaction in Christ instead of stuff during the holiday season. And what does that look like for you guys in the new year? I mean, we're probably not going to be getting gifts all the time as we head into the new year. I don't know. Maybe you are. That would be awesome. But when it comes to like, okay, this is my day. This is what I've got. We still have a tendency in our own like flesh to put our satisfaction in things that we do or stuff that we have. So at the beginning of a new year, or as you think about a new year, how do you cultivate satisfaction in Christ?
Over the last few years, I've really enjoyed studying through Ecclesiastes, especially through like 2020 was such a weird year. And it was really that year when we experienced the loss of so many of our comforts and our routines and the things that we expected from life, really. Right. And it was after really reading through that and understanding that life is gift and life is a gift. And I might have mentioned this before on another team podcast, because it's kind of become like my life motto, but I always say or remind myself that life is gift and not gain. Because if we're just chasing new things or the next milestone, life stage, promotion, whatever it is, we'll soon find that none of that can satisfy, especially when we realize that this life will never be free of trials or disappointments, whether it's sickness or injustice or broken relationships. Like, no matter how hard we work or how like good of a, you know, person we are or how much we think we deserve, we really can't put our faith in anyone or anything. You know, no matter how well-meaning they are or how quote-unquote good they are, which, you know, is true. Like, God gives us lots of good things to enjoy. But regardless of that, like, looking at in Ecclesiastes at the preacher who literally has everything and has accomplished everything, we get to the point that at the end of it, it's vanity, meaning that it's really just a breath. Like, vanity, like, translated, it means mere breath. So everything is passing away. And when we realize that, we get to the point where we say, all of this could go away in an instant. Yeah. And what we have left is just our life. And that is gift in and of itself. Yeah. And so it really is a grace to even come to that realization. And it's a grace to see life in that way. And when we do, I think it really helps inform how we approach each new day, each new year. Each problem, whether it's minor or major, with that sense of being grateful and looking to Christ for our eternal hope, really.
Yeah.
I love that, Jen. So what I was actually thinking about relates so closely to this. I think when we are created for a relationship with God, right? God.
Yeah.
Made us for that very reason. He didn't make us for what we have or what we even experience outside of relationship, but just for this relationship with Him. And this is when I talk about Advent being like the start of my spiritual new year. Yeah. I think because one of the, you know, as a mama of five and talking to my kids about just what it means to be a receiver of gifts and what it means to be content in what we get. And you'll often hear people kind of promote this experiences over things mentality. And I think that there's a lot of wisdom in that, but I'll often say to my kids, but actually it's relationships over experiences. So that experience in itself can't be like the ultimate goal. It's the relationship in it. So if we chose to go on a vacation or chose to go on a day trip and our relationships are suffering by the actual experience of what we're doing, then we're not like that. It's not enough. That's not worth it. Right. So, and as I look into the new year, I think about how like our contentment is dependent on what we experience in our relationships. Mm-hmm. And so all that being said, it's just that if we aren't prioritizing our relationship with God and our relationship with our family and the community, the neighbors He's put us around, then we are going to have these unmet expectations that lead to discontentment. And that is going to be something we're fighting against for our heart posture all year. We're not going to be that worshipfulness, generosity, gratefulness that we were talking about earlier in the season. We're not going to be experiencing that. And so, yeah.
And I think that that really plays into the idea of abiding, right? Like, we're learning how to find and cultivate our satisfaction in Christ as we like are with him and he is with us. And so what about any practical rhythms or routines or practices that you guys do or think about or are trying to do or think about that help you actively abide in Christ?
I have no rhythm or routine in my life right now.
The 4 month old really changes things. The
4 month old, it's kind of chaotic. But I think one practice that's really helped me with my relationship with Christ is just trying to be in a constant state of prayer, especially with my daughter Renee's, like, her wake windows are getting longer. And we all hear about these wake window things. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with her for an extra 30 minutes a day? And someone was like, just talk to her, like, tell her how you're, what you're doing with your life. And I was like, you know, what's better than that is probably just praying with her. And obviously sometimes my prayers go into like the baby voice and I have to catch myself and be like, nope, I need to actually be respectful while I'm praying. But I think trying to be in a constant state of prayer with her and praying with her throughout the day has actually strengthened my relationship with the Lord and helped me to abide in him better than even before I had her, which has been really cool, especially in a time where I'm not able to be in the Word as much as I want to, or go to church as much as I want to, or be in a Bible study. Just being in that constant state of prayer has been super, super crucial.
Yeah, I love that.
I feel like I'm doing something similar, although not with a baby. Someone recently challenged me to just be like super honest with the Lord. And, you know, I think so often I can get stuck in these like very flowery prayers. And I've just been really trying to be just like really honest. And one of the ways that I've had to force myself how to do that is by sitting in silence as well. And I love to listen to things in the car, but I have been trying to not, and just sit, you know. I recently drove to Colorado and that was a 14-hour drive. And a good chunk of that, I just sat and was like, Lord, I don't know why you did this. And this isn't going my way. What's up with that? And then just responded by sitting in silence. And man, it was hard. But I also feel like it was such a fruitful time. And something that I definitely want to practice more in my life.
Hi, Annalia here from the Grace Laced team. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Grace Laced podcast. If you're enjoying today's content, you might also enjoy two products from the Grace Laced shop. The Prepare Him Room box set includes a card for each day to accompany you between December 1st and December 25th, featuring Ruth's signature art on one side and a verse, short reflection, and discussion question on the other. This box set is perfect for displaying as part of your holiday decor and using around your dinner table. For short daily prompts that help you anchor your Advent season, grab a copy of Ruth's Advent Devotional Manual, an invitation to prepare him room at Christmas and always. This beautiful 25-day journey features a daily devotional reading paired with a question to ponder and a suggested Christmas hymn to worship with. Both the Prepare Him Room box set and signed copies of Emmanuel are available at gracelace.com. You can also download a free discussion guide for Emmanuel, perfect for reading the book together in a group, at ruthjosimons.com/Emmanuel. And never fear, if you didn't catch all that, you'll find everything linked in the show notes for today's episode.
Yeah, that's funny. Ironic. Our small group is working our way through a bunch of different kind of spiritual discipline things. And so the one we're doing right now is silence and solitude. And especially in our modern culture, right? Like, how often is it just really silent? And I think that that is huge, though, when it comes to abiding. That's one of the things that I've been really trying to practice in small doses. Like, 14 hours sounds like a lot. But even if I just spend like 8 minutes, I literally set a timer in the morning before it's loud and things are moving around in my house, to just be like quiet and with the Lord, I think that is a really hard, when I don't know, abiding sometimes feels like a really hard thing to quantify, and it should probably, like, we don't need to necessarily quantify it, but having a set period of time where I'm like, okay, I'm quiet and I'm consciously trying to like quiet all the other voices internally and externally and just be with the Lord. Like I would sit with a friend and not have an agenda of like, then I have to, it has, I have to hear a, something from the Lord or, you know, just to really just be, is challenging for me, but I think it's helping me. It's one of the things I'm trying to cultivate over time. Maybe we can be silent together. That's what our small group keeps saying. We're like hashtag solitude together. It's like, well, it doesn't really work that way, but
that's not how it works. But I love it. But like,
we're like individually at the same time. Yeah, it's just funny.
Next time I'll text you, Eve. I'm like, I'm being silent with the Lord now.
Yeah. Text me solitude together and I'll know. Oh man. Well, okay, so that leads me to another question. What about, so the idea of God with us, right? That goes hand in hand with abiding and Emmanuel, that's the title, obviously, of Ruth's Advent devotional and kind of the idea that we want to carry with us. Like that's happens all year long, not just at Christmas time. Any particular experiences from the last year where you really were like, okay, I experienced Emmanuel, God with me in a really true sense that you'd be willing to share? Or how does that encourage you for moving ahead into a new year? Any thoughts?
I can go, but I'll probably be short because I don't want to cry. But
that's okay.
The very beginning of last year actually started with not knowing if my dad was going to make it. He was in the hospital and I was out skiing with friends and got a phone call. And that was just a really rough way to start off the year. It was kind of like very end of the year into the beginning of the new year. I remember texting Camille and Ruth and being like, hey, I'm not sure if I'll be there on Monday, but just letting you know. And through the last 11 months, I've really experienced what it looks like to lean into God when you don't know what to expect. And learning what it looks like to really abide in that truth of God is with us in everything and sees us through everything and is with us in every single circumstance and knows what's going to happen was one of the, this year was probably one of the biggest years where I actually have learned that and gotten to press into that more.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Anna. Those seasons are incredibly hard and at the same time incredibly sweet to be able to recognize God's presence in it and to be able to lean into that. But the day-to-day is still really, really hard.
I was just thinking about this as I was talking to my oldest who lives far, far away and I haven't seen in person in a long time because May was a really long time ago. And I was thinking about how, like, what God has taught me during this season, which is so, when you have, like, I think about Camille with her 4-month little sweetness that she's with and how those 18 years since I was in that position have gone really fast.
Yeah.
But also there were times where I'm like, what am I supposed to do with you for these extra hours of the day? But having like this huge portion of my heart, you hear that quote, like walking outside your body, but like walking outside my body 3,000 miles away, I think that's how far he is. And how I have to really rely on the truth that God is with us because he's also with him. Mm-hmm. And the only way I can wake up each day and not know like how he slept, how he's waking up, what he's eating. And I talk to him a lot, but not every day. I did at first, but not now. And the only way I can actually do that, like I can survive that, like, and not totally be paralyzed is because I know God is with me and he's with him. And, that's been a really, really neat and new and hard, but neat place to be. And so that's where I'm at right now.
I love that. Okay. Well, As we kind of wrap up, we're going to finish out with our classic Grace Lace podcast questions. So, you know, we always try and end with what's one small thing that, well, we actually usually end with two things. What's the gospel truth and why does it matter? That's underlying our conversation. And then one small thing that we're going to do to apply that truth. So I think the gospel truth for this kind of conversation is what we were just saying, like God really is with us all year long. And this time of year is special. But as we kind of bid farewell to the official celebration, it matters that we carry it with us because every day is an opportunity to be with the Lord, to walk with Him, to cultivate the heart postures of joy and expectation and worship and all of those pieces. So, okay, we're going to go all the way around. Friends, everyone has to chime in. What's one small thing? It does not have to be big. The word small is very intentional. One small thing that you want to do to help keep that Advent posture of heart as we enter into a new year.
Okay, so I've been really into journaling lately, because I've been really into therapy lately, and that's also a good thing. And the Lord has really made that something, a kindness to organize my thoughts and have a place to put down, like I think what Mallory was talking about, just share with God how like I'm honestly feeling and what's in my brain and not expect this like major answer.
Right.
But one part of that journaling process for me has been to go back to my practice of having like a gratitude list. And that was really popular when I had little kids. And it was really popular. Like everyone was doing like their write down your thing. Yeah. Yes. For good reason.
Yeah.
But I
think
like,
it's still a thing.
It's still a thing. But it was, Anna, it was a major thing.
It was.
In the aughts, it was a major thing. I'm definitely older than you and I can remember this. So, but I've been going back to doing that. You know, I was actually opening the new planner that we have because I got my brand new planner and it's just shiny and pretty and new. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm so grateful that we have our gratitude list section because I was like, oh, this is another way for me to journal down things. And they don't have like, I actually like that the space is limited. So I can just write down like a word or a feeling or a person in my life that I am grateful for. And so that is a way I'm going to tangibly and in a small way without major expectations continue this like the Advent posture formation.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm actually going to piggyback on what Mallory was saying earlier. One of the things that I've been also trying to work on is praying in the car. So like trying to minimize the amount of time I'm actually listening to music in the car, but usually on my way to work, mainly because we drop signal for like a chunk of that drive. So just praying in the car and praying specifically for people that I know that are either going through a rough time or may not know the Lord, and really just wanting to press into that and remembering that Advent and Christmas is not just for the believers, but really for those that do not know Him as well. And so just remembering that and pressing into praying for opportunities with other people and then recognizing when those opportunities come up. So that's the biggest thing that's been on my mind lately.
I love that.
Yeah, that's good. I think for me, one thing I've been trying to do is really be intentional about waking with the Lord and not with anything else or anyone else. Like, you know, so cliche, but you know, the first thing we do is like pick up our phones.
Yep.
And like, for me, it's usually to an alarm or something that I have to turn off. And I think, you know, once that happens, it's like, I want to think about work or think about what I have to do or check email or check Instagram. And then it's like, I get an ad for something and I want to start shopping. And then it's a whole thing before I've actually thought about the Lord and about His mercies new every morning. And, what a gift life is, you know, this new day to be waking up. And so, yeah, the first thing I've been trying to do recently is, you know, turn off my alarm and just, sit in silence or kind of move a little bit, stretch and and either talk to the Lord or meditate on a verse during that time. And I think, you know, the hope is that it would set my intention for the day and to set my gaze for the day to the Lord and not to whatever it is.
Whatever else comes.
Whatever it is for that day.
Yes.
That's really helpful.
I think as I ask these kind of honest questions of God, I might steal from Annie and say, just to kind of prepare my heart for the new year and start this season of just sitting in quiet contemplation and maybe asking God, like, how can I be more expectant and open to how you're going to move in my life and in the coming months? And then just sit in silence and wait for an answer or not an answer and be fine with either one.
Yep. I'll check back in with you and see how it's going.
Thank you.
I think one small thing for me that I do each new year that's actually really fun is to just look back on this past year and think of all the ways that God's been faithful and all the ways that he's answered specific prayers that you've prayed in the past year. Think about all the prayers he said yes to or the prayers that he's redirected. And it's really cool to see what he's done and how he's moved. And it helps you to continue to have faith in him in the new year, in the next year, you know? So that's one small thing that's fun to do.
Yeah. I think one thing I'm thinking about is generosity, like how we move from kind of where we're hoarding things into a more generous heart posture. And I think in Advent during Christmas time, it feels, I don't know if it feels easier, but it's at least more expected. Like you're buying gifts for people and you're thinking about other people and like, what would they love and what would encourage them? And I love giving gifts. And so finding like a really good one that they're going to enjoy, which I sometimes need to just back off the pressure on that. But I'm thinking a little bit about like just what that looks like going into the new year. Like, how can I continue to cultivate generosity? And so one of the things that my husband and I have been talking about is just regularly having people in our home. Because that, like, a meal is a small piece of generosity, but it's a really fun way to just connect. And it is like this generosity of spirit. I think that you're opening your home up, you're opening your family up and welcoming somebody else. And so I don't 100% know what that's going to look like or how often that will be, but I think we're going to like put some days on the calendar, and then if they get filled up, great. And if they don't, that's okay too. But just to say like, we're going to make space for generosity in opening our home in the new year and see what happens.
I would argue that a meal is not a small thing either.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's like one of the best things. I'm like, you want me at your house?
Yes. I'm always so honored when people have me over. It's huge.
Okay, well, great. I will serve you some Costco soup and salad. And
yes. Yes. I would love that.
That's my favorite way to go in the wintertime. So, okay, well, guys, I think this has been a great conversation. Thanks so much for waking up early, Jen, and for jumping in and sharing your hearts. And here we are. Cheers to the new year. Well, there you have it, friends. This is the small but mighty team of women that make up Grace Lace Co. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Here at the end of the year, we wanted to take a minute to pray for you. So, Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and goodness in 2023. We are so grateful to be called your children, so grateful to get to experience life and community together. Lord, we pray that you would help us keep our eyes fixed on you in the new year. We can't wait to see what you're going to do. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Ruth and I can't wait to be back with you for another season of the podcast that kicks off next week. So get ready.